We're continuing our conversation with Ann Wild. She's a modern-day polygamy expert. In this next conversation, we'll talk about the FLDS Church. Many of you are probably familiar with them and their prophet, Warren Jess, who's currently serving jail time in a Texas jail. We'll also talk about another group called Centennial Park. These two groups are closely related and are actually neighbors in their community. We'll also talk about black polygamists. Is there such a thing? Check out our conversation. But before you do that, one thing I want to mention is we'd love to get more people to listen to us on iTunes. Please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends about us. We'd really like to have more people come and learn more about Mormon history. Now back to our conversation. Let's kind of talk a little bit about the FLDS group. So, jumping back in history again, so we've got the United, or the All Red group, the AUB. Did this other group, the Musser group, did that kind of morph into the FLDS Church?
It was never called the Musser group.
Okay.
If anything, it was the All Red group that evolved from, definitely from Joseph Musser. He's the one that called them to a council. And he knew it was going to be a separate council from the other one because he didn't go along with the ones they wanted to have put in. So at that time, there were two councils. They weren't called FLDS at first. They were just another priesthood council. Leroy Johnson lived till 98, I think. He kept taking many wives. Many of them were young. And then when he died, then Rulon Jeffs was, I don't know whether he was actually next in line in seniority. I believe he was. But he was the next president of that council. And then, you know, the story, Warren Jeffs, in the later years of Rulon, when his health was failing, Warren started more and more taking over. And then when Rulon died, then Warren took over. And things, in my opinion, just went from bad to worse. So they didn't become FLDS until after 1986.
1986 is when the FLDS Church really started?
No, it was after. The reason I have 1986 is because it was really 2 years before it began in 1984. Centennial Park, which is another group, did not go along with the one-man rule that was going on in the Rulon and Warren Jeffs faction.
And what's the one-man
rule? Rulon Jeffs, because there was one-man rule. They had a priesthood council, but he was the main guy. Everything had to go through that one person. And the people that are now Centennial Park wanted a priesthood council.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand that. So in the AUB, there's a lot of people that have the sealing power. Are you saying that the FLDS, all of those sealings had to go through one man?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So that's one of the big differences.
Now, and I'm not going to say a lot. There are some in the AUB, from what I understand, because I'm not a member of the group, that the leader can commission to perform plural marriages with priesthood authority and that calling. But I think it generally has to be approved of by the leader of the AUB, but he can appoint others to perform a plural marriage. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, so whereas in
the other one, FLDS, which became that, I think he himself, I don't know for sure, I can't say definitively, but from what I understand, there was only one person, and that would be the leader of that priesthood council that could perform marriages. And he not only could perform them, he appointed who would marry who. And you were in trouble if you didn't marry who you were appointed to marry.
And these were essentially arranged marriages.
Yeah.
Like you would think of in India or something.
And in some cases, they had enough faith in the leader, Rulon or Warren or whoever, that they went ahead with it and made the best of it. And then there are others who, I'm not going to marry that guy, I don't like him, da-da-da-da, and so they would refuse. And they might get in trouble, or they might be asked to leave. So there was a lot more control as far as who married who down there than there ever was in the All Red group. So Centennial Park, which they now have about 2,000 members, they separated from the other made, but they weren't even called FLDS until after Centennial Park separated. So that's why they don't like to say, oh, we separated from FLDS, because it wasn't even called FLDS at the time they separated. But technically, you get the picture.
Okay, so Centennial Park really was the one that came out, and FLDS separated from them?
Well, that's what Centennial Park might say, and then FLDS would say the other. It's okay. Whoever you're talking to. But in other words, they separated. And two of the members of the council, of the Priesthood Council in Colorado City, started the Priesthood Council that became Centennial Park. Many of them started a new community, another mile or two south there in Arizona. And many of the Centennial Park people had homes in Colorado City, Hilldale, so they stayed there. And they're there to this day, but they are considered the Centennial Park group.
Okay, so I know the FLDS are pretty distinctive with their dress. A lot of them have long sleeve dresses, right, and go all the way to the ankles. Are Centennial Park similar?
Similar, uh-huh. They dress modestly. Okay. I think you can basically tell the difference between FLDS, the ones that follow Warren. Now there's apparently more that are not following Warren that are now because of all the problems. The ones that do, the women wear distinctive one color, solid color dresses of a certain style. Their hair is pretty much one main style, although there's some variations. So you can pretty much identify the followers of Warren Jeffs. But the ones that are broken away might still want to wear long sleeves or long dresses. And Centennial Park mostly will wear, the women will wear long sleeves, and some of them will wear pants. So they aren't just told they have to wear certain things, but they dress modestly.
Now, I remember there was a story, I'm trying to remember which book that was, read it several years ago, a funny story about a young man. They were living the law of consecration. I think this was in Great Basin Kingdom. I might have the book wrong. But at any rate, everybody had to wear the same clothes because they were living the law of consecration. And one young man took some of the leftover wool and had a different pair of pants made. And the law of consecration, they all said,
it's united,
all the
united order.
United order, right. That everybody had to wear the same clothes, so we were all the same. And then, so it was a really funny story, I remember, because
he backed up against the grist mill and wore out his pants so he didn't have to wear them anymore. I heard that story.
Yeah. So is the the FLDS, they're the ones that all have the same dress, essentially?
Well, they vary in color. You know, some of them be lavender, some purple, some blue. Or
okay, and their hair, is that because they're trying to live this United Order law of consecration thing? Or?
I think Warren, number one, wants to exercise power and control over the people. Number two, he's trying to have everybody equal, look equal, and all that, except for him. He didn't do that. It didn't apply to him, because he could dress however he wanted. it's hard to say, okay, this is the way these people dress, and this is the way these people, because right now things are in such a state of flux. And so confusing down there. But generally speaking, Warren Jeffs followers, the women wear, as we described, solid color dresses and pretty much the same pattern.
Okay. So going back to that, so it seems like the FLDS, especially in perhaps Centennial Park, very, very conservative in their views. Would you think, we were talking a little bit about the gay issue a little bit earlier, would you think that they would be as open as, say, you on the gay issue, or would they be against gay marriage? And
I really can't answer for them, but I think there would at least be some that are okay with a legal gay marriage as a civil right. They have their civil right to form a family, just like we would like our civil rights to form our families.
Okay.
Leave religion out of it.
Okay. And then I've also heard regarding the FLDS, and you know, let's throw the AUB and Centennial Park in there as well. You know, we have the 1978 revelation of opening the priesthood to all male members of the church. Is it true that the FLDS basically don't recognize that revelation? They still believe a lot of the old curse of Cain, curse of Ham doctrines?
That's a tough question to answer for some other group.
Okay.
I can't answer for FLDS or All Reds. I think generally speaking, and this is really general, fundamentalist Mormons do not believe that the time has come for the black race to receive the priesthood. And maybe I better just let it go at that.
Okay, so that's...
Yeah, because I don't want to appear bigoted or racist or whatever, but there's too many scriptures and early leaders quotes, and one of the books we wrote was on blacks and the priesthood, so I'm familiar with all the background and all that. So I just question the timing on it.
Okay. So are you aware of any group, any polygamous group? Because we've talked about three, and I know there's a lot more than three out there. But are you aware of any groups that do have black polygamists or allow black members in their groups?
I don't.
You don't. Okay. So it would seem that those curse of Cain, curse of Ham are still well entrenched in most. Is that a fair statement?
I guess. it's so controversial and it's so hard to explain it so other people understand it.
Okay.
So I think, I don't see anything wrong with blacks joining the church and having total equal civil rights. But it's a civil rights issue.
It's a civil rights issue, not a race issue. Okay, I won't push that anymore. Okay, let's talk about some of the other groups out there. Actually, before we do that, before we started recording...
Aren't we recording?
No, we're still recording. But before we recorded, you and I had a conversation.
Oh.
And about the FLDS group in particular. And one of the things that you had mentioned was... they were pretty large, and now their numbers have dropped precipitously. So can you tell me what you think about the high water mark was for their membership and where it is now?
Well, yeah, I think it was about 10,000 in their day before all these breakoffs and factions and, Warren Jeffs took over. From what I understand, in talking to people and even the media that were very familiar with what was going on down there as much as they could be, I think the high mark was about 10,000. And then when Warren took over and began kicking people out, there was one Sunday when he listed 21 men's names and said, "You're out of here, pack your bags and go." And he split up families. I've heard so many stories that I just wouldn't want to be in that man's shoes, because he has caused so much heartache, and that's putting it mildly, with the families down there, that people, a lot of them, have reached their limit as to how far they'll follow him, and they've just left. What's sad now is that Warren himself is telling a lot of the people to leave rather than pay their $100 assessment on the property they're in. And he says, "And you're on your own," from what I understand. So they're moving out with very little training on a job, very little money to work with, practically with just the clothing on their back, and they're going to surrounding communities there and starting all over. So there's just story after story about what's happening to the people that no longer want to follow Warren. They're really in a lot of trouble, a lot of hurt. And there are organizations that are helping and willing to help those people. Holding Out Help is one of them. They've helped countless, over 1,500 people that have made up their minds to leave but didn't know what to do once they left. And so they've been helping them find housing and jobs and education and all that. They're an amazing organization. Hope Organization, I don't know how much they're still involved. They're headquartered out of St. George. Safety Net was also trying to be of help. And there's other organizations, too, that are willing to help the people that need help down there. So I have no idea what the population is of the followers of Warren Jeffs, or even those that live in the town. I guess you could find out what the population is in town by talking to the mayors of the of Colorado City and then the mayor of Hilldale. But it's just really in a sad state of affairs.
Okay, so just ballpark, you think it's probably half of what it used to be?
I couldn't even begin to tell you. I did read an article in the paper that said they interviewed one of the former members of Warren Jeffs' group, and she said that she felt there were more ex-FLDS than there were followers of Warren Jeffs or FLDS.
Have they joined with other groups like Centennial Park?
No. Oh, no, they will not join Centennial Park unless it's a very rare occasion. Centennial Park has been there to help their teenagers. They've offered their homes, opened them up if they needed a place to stay. But to followers of Warren, that's the enemy, because they broke away from, in their idea, from their priesthood. So they don't have priesthood. They are apostates, you know. So they consider Centennial Park the enemy, whereas Centennial Park has opened up their homes if they would take advantage of it.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Ann Wild. We'll continue to talk about smaller polygamous groups, such as the Kingston and the Harmston groups. We'll also talk about an infamous polygamist, Ervil LeBaron.
He's responsible for killing, or the death of, about 20 people, and I know that because I knew some of them. Ogden was introduced to him one time under a fictitious name, and so we went out to a meeting and thought this was this guy's name, Stilson. And lo and behold, shortly after that, we saw a picture wanted, Ervil LeBaron, but the picture of this guy that we had met. And he even came and stayed in my home.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.